Our scripture is from the 19th chapter of Luke, verses 1 through 10. One of Luke's stories that he told. Luke was a great recorder of very important incidents in the life of Jesus. And this was a very important one. He, that is Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. There was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because of the crowd, since he was a short man. So, running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today it is necessary for me to stay at your house." So he quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. All who saw it began to complain, "He's gone to stay with a sinful man." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. Today, salvation has come to this house," Jesus told him, "because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing the word. You know, you often hear the message that is a Christian message that urges you to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You've heard that over and over, haven't you? That's because the earliest New Testament scriptures quote Jesus directly, giving his followers the command, the directive to do just that, to become witnesses for him. It is a directive in the Gospels, Matthew 28:19. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Mark 16:15. "Then he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." This is among the final words of Jesus in Luke's story of the beginnings of the Christian church, the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." It's all there. And it's undoubtedly specific. Jesus has instructed us. He has directed us. He has commanded us to partner with the Word of God, the Bible, the written witness of the Bible, and in like fashion to the Word, we are to be verbally, continually proclaiming the good news to everyone that the Messiah Jesus has come to live among us, to die on the cross of Calvary as the full ransom payment for forgiveness of every believer's sins. And then he rose from the dead on the day that we celebrate as Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. He established his church, his followers, to tell the story. That's be my witnesses, folks. And then went back to heaven to watch and to wait for the Lord's day to return to us with his angels in his glory and in his triumph to finish establishment of the kingdom of God forever and ever. King of kings and Lord of lords. And the whole reason for God breaking into the history of this world by sending his only son was to provide the way, the only way you can have your sins forgiven and salvation assured for eternal life. And there, I just told the gospel story again. And I'm called to do it again and again for the sake of anyone who needs to believe in Jesus, the Messianic Christ, as their own Savior and Lord. And you are too. You're called every single one of you who's already accepted and asked Jesus to forgive your personal sins and take over the direction of your life as Lord, you're called to be His witness. So here's where I want to go this morning. Since you are, excuse me, since you are directly called by God to be a gospel, good news witness, you probably want to know the who and the how. You know, when we have a job to do, we begin doing it by learning the how. How do I witness? How do I tell the good news? And I believe one of the best ways that we learn anything is by having examples shown to us. So for the next few Sundays, my Sunday morning messages will be example stories of different kinds of people. The who were led to the good news. And the how. The how, by Jesus witnessing unto Himself. Today it's a story of a person people didn't like. And you've already found out who that is as we read our scripture text for today. It was Zacchaeus. And next week it'll be someone who comes to ask, who is this Jesus? Who is Christ? An inquirer. And the following Sunday, the 21st, we'll see how Jesus told His story, witnessed to His own life as salvation for the one listening. One whose faith was already placed somewhere else. You might say an outsider. And then at the end of this month, I'll give you the story of one Jesus had to confront, to condemn his actions, but then offered him the salvation only belief in Jesus can bring, one that I'll call an antagonist. You see, I think as you travel through this road of life, you'll encounter many different kinds of people who need Jesus. And ones you need to do what Jesus has called you to do with them, to witness to them. And there's a pretty representative lineup of types of people that you may encounter, even as Jesus did in His day. Learn who to witness to and how to witness from the example of the life and the times of Jesus. A person who's disliked by people around him who needs a friend. A person who inquires, asks you to tell about Jesus. A person whose life is already a non-Christian, an outsider, and a person who is openly opposed to Christ, an antagonist. So here we go. First example to you. Lots of people need the joy of salvation and don't know it. And today we're looking at this man who knew he needed what he was hearing that this person, Jesus, had to offer, but he never expected to receive him. You see, because of the reputation of Zacchaeus' occupation and his own statements at the time of his conversion, Zacchaeus is usually considered a crooked businessman, a corrupt politician. Zacchaeus lived in Jericho, where he had made his headquarters as the chief tax collector. And typical of his times, the taxes for which he was responsible were those on imports and exports and other special merchandising customs. These tax collecting positions were sold by the governing authorities to the highest bidders. And the bidder then turned around and collected enough extra to reimburse himself and to gain whatever profits he could. Generally, tax collectors had a reputation for extortion and dishonesty. Luke tells us that Zacchaeus was rich. Remember that from verse 2? And the assumption is that he made himself rich by immoral, if not illegal, means. The Hebrew people resented all of this. They resented the Roman government. They resented the taxes. And they resented those who collected the taxes. even if the tax collectors were Israelites, at that time they were denied access to the religious life and the blessings of the rest of the people. And that explains why Zacchaeus would be surprised and the Jewish leaders would complain about what Jesus did. That Jesus would associate and be kind to bad people, tax collectors. The story of Zacchaeus' conversion and the characteristic love and compassion of Jesus in this incident has a lot to teach us as we encounter people in the large scope of our lives who are, well, just unlovely. First of all, somehow, perhaps out of a lonely soul, Jesus knew that he needed what Jesus was supposedly giving out. He had obvious doubts that Jesus would be willing to receive him. He perhaps had heard about Jesus' ministry, but of all people, he knew it would be very surprising if a Jewish religious leader would have anything to do with a tax collector. So Zacchaeus is symbolic of many people who know that they need the kind of life they hear about in Christianity and get glimpses of that in real presentations of who Jesus was and what they see in people who are trying to live like Jesus, but they seriously doubt if any of that help is available to them because they find themselves estranged by people. They're not lovely people. They feel that they may have gone too far, or even that the Lord will not forgive them. Such people often defend themselves on the grounds that they're no worse off than many so-called Christians, church members that they see at times other than on Sundays, and they say, those people are no better than me. Or some may hope that somehow they may have done enough good in their lives that God will somehow extend to them some special concession. Of course, you know that just doing good deeds makes no particular impression on God. Yeah, he likes us to do good, but he likes us to do it for the right reasons. I was preparing this, and I recall a man who had lived in a community where I landed for a few years in my 30s. And I say I landed because I landed in a whole lot of communities in my life. But this was a man who occasionally attended church, and he was known to speak highly of church people. Well, he was really a gentleman in many senses. When we talked about becoming a Christian, however, his demeanor always suddenly turned cold, and he would walk away quickly. Most people thought it was because in his younger days, he had allegedly committed a murder. He'd been acquitted, but he felt that he would rather go on associating that much with church, go on being unsaved, rather than to run the risk of embarrassment of having this sin brought out again in the open. Such people feel that they somehow forfeited their right to be a Christian. And they need to be shown, as Jesus showed Zacchaeus, that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Or maybe Zacchaeus' seeking was merely curiosity. But I think actually down deep in his soul, there must have been a subconscious desire to receive the blessings of Jesus that he was hearing about. He didn't come openly seeking. Besides, he was small in nature or stature, so he couldn't compete with the crowds who were there to get a good look at Jesus. He therefore ran ahead, climbed up a tree where he could at least get a glimpse of Jesus, see who this man was that he was hearing about. Because he became famous, our children sing about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. You know, remember that one. But Did Zacchaeus have a faint hope that this could possibly be the beginning of a new life for himself? Now, I don't know that this would be true of all people who find themselves alienated from people around them by their lifestyle. But some may be like Zacchaeus here as he demonstrated his aggressive drive, probably characteristic of people who choose to keep on living an isolated life, hurting others around them, don't care about them. But they have something that pushes them on. And this ambitious, aggressive drive that had made him a successful businessman, although dishonest, was evident as he overcame real obstacles to get in a place where he could see Jesus. I think he demonstrated more curiosity than pride in himself in running ahead of the crowd and climbing a tree where this parade was to pass by. But I thank God that he had enough of a deep-seated and Holy Spirit-led conviction of his wrongdoings to go as far as he could to just see if there really was anything to this Jesus. You know, sometimes our best witness is just to somehow display Jesus as he is. Simply Jesus as we see him. Well, Zacchaeus responded quickly and joyfully to Jesus' invitation. Jesus simply issued an invite to Zacchaeus. So, it says, he quickly came down. Christian witnesses should remember that we often have to make a friend before we can make a convert. With Jesus, this was not just a mere strategy. As our leader, our Lord, Jesus sets the example. He loves people. He reaches out to them with a loving, caring heart. Zacchaeus received the invitation of Jesus as genuine and caring, and he hurried down to meet Jesus personally. Well, look at verse 6 and how Zacchaeus actually responded when he saw and believed that Jesus cared about him. He received Jesus joyfully. Also, as I was preparing this message, I read the story of a Jewish woman who was in an evangelistic service, who said to the evangelist when she came forward as he issued the invitation of Christ to give him, to give Jesus their life for his salvation, she said, "Is everybody this happy when he or she becomes a Christian?" Zacchaeus was joyful. And you know, while people beyond their childhood tend to be perhaps fearful, reluctant, or maybe even defensive about receiving Jesus as Savior and Lord, once they take that first step to release to him, they are always joyful and excited. And then Zacchaeus showed immediately what Jesus as Lord and we as representatives, witnesses, want to see. He demonstrated an obviously changed life. What changes give us the very obvious change of life? What do we see here in Zacchaeus? The demonstration of love for others. In verse 8, he said, "Look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord." Of course, that's not the typical response of every new convert, but for this man, it represented the key to his life, the key to his heart. Money had been the primary downfall for Zacchaeus, his downfall into taking advantage of people. But now that he had just suddenly, but very positively, committed his life to Jesus as the Messiah that he really was seeking, he began to think about what the importance of money to him, now no longer his number one in life, but important, could do for others. When a new convert receives Jesus into their life, they receive the love of Jesus into their life. And that focus of the loves that have controlled their life changes because of Jesus as now their Lord. Jesus not only loved his neighbor as himself, but commanded his followers to do likewise. Every neighbor, everywhere. As regular members of the human race, we find this impossible in our own nature. But when we receive Jesus into our lives, his love flows through us so that we can love our neighbors as Jesus loves them. This was immediately seen in Zacchaeus' commitment. Dishonesty and selfishness were replaced by integrity and benevolence. Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and the people and continued saying, and we're still in verse 8, if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. With a little insight into what was significant in the situation back in that time, this was far more than was legally required in the case of money fraud. In the days of Jesus and Zacchaeus, the requirement was only that he add one-fifth to what he had taken wrongfully. But he offered to restore fourfold, which incidentally was actually the legal requirement for something more valuable than money in that society. That was what was required for a stolen sheep. He felt to the extreme that he had been a thief and a robber, and he repented and changed from a taker to a giver accordingly. As we read this very illustrative incident, there is no evidence in this story that Jesus had made any requirements in advance. You see, Jesus does not deal legalistically with people, but rather offers them a new life with a new sense of values. It's a significant part of all of this as we're learning how we are to be witnesses for Jesus as the Christ and how that impacts different kinds of people who need to commit their lives to the Lordship of Jesus, that those people that we are witnessing to are never seeking Jesus as passionately as he is seeking them. At a conversion experience, Jesus always meets us more than halfway. And that one to whom you witness may be one of the best persons in the community, or that man or woman who may be so far away from the Lord in their thinking that they are doubting that God would have any interest in them whatsoever. But based on our God-given assurance of every promise in God's Word, we can always witness with confidence that Jesus will come into any person's life today if they will just open their mind and their heart to him. Now, go and be his witness. Every one of you.